Well, hello everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle and this is our April 2014 Numerology Academy support call. And what a month it is. I'd be surprised if none of you felt the energy that's so intense right now. I mean, this is the week. Some astrologers are actually calling it the week of the decade. You know, I don't know if I would agree with that because there's numerology involved as well, right? But speaking of the numerology, April is an 11 universal month. So, you know, even without any of the astrology events, when you're in a 7 universal year with an 11, it's all about trusting your inner voice. It's all about going within and, you know, really understanding that what the outside is telling you in the end may be suggestions, some may be good, some may be not so good, but really what it comes down to is you and how you feel and connecting with the soul inside of you, the actual true voice. So that's just a given anyway this month, the urge to do that. And 11, of course, is the double one, which is all about change, just like 7 is about the lightning bolt of change. So we have double new beginnings. We've got the lightning bolt of awakenings. And so that sets the stage then for this incredible Cardinal Grand Cross, which is really coming to a head as we speak now and will be actually exact tomorrow at 13 degrees. And, of course, the two eclipses that frame the Grand Cross. Now, the number 13 is the other huge change number here that we're dealing with when it comes to, you know, the importance of this event. And as you know, I have called the number 13 the number of the divine feminine as well. And it's been very interesting to me what's been going on this month, in the last couple of days, actually. I noticed two news events, one involving an actress, who spoke about her inclination to, you know, honor the way she was raised with her mother being at home, and you know, I wish I remember her name. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, she had some interview with some magazine in the United Kingdom and talked about how she feels that being feminine in that way has been seen as a negative by the feminist movement, you know, so being a mom, for example, and staying home and taking care of your kids and honoring that responsibility. And so she's saying how she's enjoying it and that we should honor both. We should honor those women who want to go out into the workforce and really, you know, make it and all of that. And we should also honor the other, you know, tendency, which is the feminine one to nurture, right? So anyway, the backlash to her article has been very strong. And then next thing I hear is Arianna Huffington on CNN saying in a similar way how we've forgotten to meditate and take care of ourselves and how she really destroyed part of her private life by working so hard, you know, by just getting 6 hours of sleep, working 18-hour days and all of this. And this all just came out like literally in the last few days. And so I look at this number 13 and I sort of see, you know, this is, well, not sort of, I see the connection. The divine feminine is about power, but it also is about the feminine. So, you know, the divinity that we have as male and females also has to be honored. And this is what we're being confronted with in our own personal lives right now. So, you know, to take that time and to honor those actual archetypes within ourselves the way we want to, and not to feel like we need to make judgments about how we choose to live our life, but also to honor the truth of the results, you know, the truth of the consequences of our choices, especially if we are mothers or wives. Now, I say this because most of you are female in this group, so, you know, you understand. And I wanted to bring it up because really the deepest subconscious issues that we are considering in our lives are coming up because of Pluto and Uranus and Mars and Jupiter being involved. The other reason is that this Cardinal Grand Cross is literally representing the actual four angles in astrology. And so those four angles govern the most important parts of our life, right? So we're talking about the ascendant, which is naturally ruled by Aries. The first sign in the zodiac is Aries. And so it rules that first house, the ascendant. And Aries is the first cardinal sign, and that's the sign that Uranus is in right now. So that first house is about you. It's about how you feel, so how I feel, my whole sense of self. And then we have the opposite of Aries, which is Libra, that rules the seventh house, and that's your partner. That's the person who you are currently with, and everything that that entails in terms of the reflection of you and your partner, so looking in the mirror, right? The opposite house is looking in the mirror, seventh house. Then we have the fourth house, which is ruled naturally by Cancer, and Cancer is the sign of the home, the feelings, right? So it's when the summer solstice, triggers the sign of Cancer. So it really is about where we feel at home, our parents, everything to do with our home life, our actual, the place we live. And then finally, opposite to that fourth house, we have the 10th house, which is Capricorn. And that is the career house. So that's what we are doing professionally, our vocation. And it governs, Capricorn is triggered by the shortest day of the year, right? So that's when winter begins. So as you can see, the four cardinal signs not only govern the four angles of the horoscope, they also govern the four seasons. And so for every time a season changes, whether you're in the northern or southern hemisphere here, it's a turning point. So they carry great significance. So when there is a cardinal grand cross, meaning there are four planets that are in each of those four cardinal signs, and they're all at the same degree point. So two planets are opposing each other in each of those four signs, right? So when we have that going on, it triggers change, turning points. It triggers what the cardinal signs represent, which is natural leadership. It is about initiating action. It is about pioneering something new, going forth, feeling empowered. And because Mars is involved, we have a lot of aggression too. So, you know, you have to be careful during this time. If you do encounter a situation either with your partner or anyone really that becomes aggressive, then, you know, definitely the deep breath needs to be taken. Fortunately, Libra is part of this whole, you know, setup here, and Libra is about balance. So we, you know, if we're given something that's hard to handle, we always have a way to move through it. You see, the cardinal signs are about movement. They are the first signs, the initiating signs. So there is always going to be a way for you not to feel stuck as long as you're honest and breathe and really listen to that inner voice, going back to the number 11 and 7, right? So that's really a wrap-up of what's going on. And I just want to mention here, too, for all of you who want to go more deeply into this, that we have Uranus in Aries, of course, has been for a long time. You know, it's been square Pluto, which is in Capricorn. So we know that Uranus is in Aries. But what's so interesting is with this cardinal grand cross, Uranus is opposing Mars, right? And that becomes exact tomorrow, 13 degrees. Uranus opposes Mars. And Mars is the ruler of Aries. So that's very, very important, because when you have rulerships involved, you know, Mars happens to be very important to the sign of Aries, which is where Uranus is in, and Uranus is opposing Mars. So that is, you know, something to pay attention to. Yes, it can flare up emotions, but on the other hand, it can also really empower you physically to get up and do something, to, you know, mentally too, obviously, to initiate. It gives you energy. Mars is about your libido, your energy, your drive. So, and then Uranus is about breakthroughs and the future. And, you know, so it's a really amazing, amazing moment right now. And the other thing I want to mention is in that chart that I have up, that you may have seen in my future in my forecast video for April, you can see that Jupiter, and you should cast this chart anyway for yourself, you know, for tomorrow, you can see that Jupiter is exact in this cardinal grand cross, which I have cast for around 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time on April 22nd. Jupiter is in the 10th house, and Jupiter naturally rules that house, right? It's a natural ruler of that house. So it's actually, no, take that back. Jupiter is not the natural ruler. Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. Sorry. So scratch that. Jupiter doesn't rule the 10th house naturally, but Jupiter is exalted in Cancer, and it currently is in Cancer. And Jupiter's in the 10th house in this chart for the world that you can cast for tomorrow when this cardinal grand cross is exact. And so when Jupiter is in that 10th house, exalted in Cancer, it really is a beautiful sign for us as entrepreneurs. So all of us who are entrepreneurs, we are expanding at right now. We are getting new insights into how to run our business, new ideas, new clients. And this is not just for tomorrow, by the way. This whole experience that I just talked about for the last, you know, 10 minutes going into this call is not just for one day. It is literally going to last for a while. It is a trigger point. So all these big, big astrological events and astronumerology events, they are points that we can refer back to, like when we look back on 2014 and we can see, okay, that's when it all started changing. That's when we started as a nation or as a person to make the transformation. And then you'll see the result of this cardinal grand cross over the next few years. But it is right now that you're really getting the intel, right, the info on it. And so you really want to pay attention to everything that's going on to you and every prompting you have. And I'm talking about whether there's a book that you're interested in reading or you notice one or it falls down from the bookshelf or whatever it may be. Pay attention to everything because it's a sign to you on what to focus on and what will help you integrate your gifts, you know, get you in balance and get you focused on what you're here to do. Okay, so this is what I'm telling you now is information that you can pass on to your clients as well. It's not just for you, but it's also for them to understand so that when they come to you and you cast their astronumerology chart that you can mention these things to them and look at it obviously in relation to where it takes place for them personally. So that is what I wanted to cover. And, of course, we do have one more eclipse coming up on the 28th, 29th. It's going to be close to midnight, so still the April 28th here in the West Coast. But for most people around the world, it'll be April 29th because it's at 7:15 a.m. Universal Time in Greenwich, England. So 7:15 a.m. April 29th at 8 degrees Taurus. And I love that. I love that number. I love it that it's in Taurus. It's just really magnificent because of Taurus is ruled by Venus, and that Venus, one of the qualities that Venus governs is wealth and money and beauty. And so 8 is the money number. It's the business number. So again, we have a tie-in to what I just said about Jupiter in the 10th house for business, for career, for entrepreneurs, is it continued with this eclipse. So it's going to be a very deep experience because the eclipse takes place in the 12th house for the world chart, the universal chart. So it'll trigger a lot of psychic energy, and it's very, very powerful. So that is coming up as well to you know, keep a lookout for. Now, I want to just remind you, if you have a question for me, press star 6 now because you want to get in line. I have one email question this time, which I'll answer now, and you can all get in line for your questions, whether it is about the events of this month or you have a numerology question for me or anything. Just get in line now so we can make sure to answer it. So I have an email question that came in from Marion, and I just want to remind everyone, when you send me a question about any person, including yourself, that I'd really like for you to include your birth name, current name, and birthday. That way I don't have to look for them, and it's just really helpful. So, Marion, you are asking, your question is, I'm very discouraged, lots of endings in my life, and currently no income is making things challenging. I dropped my last name and combined the first and middle, which came to 50, but I don't know if that's the best. How does one create fortunate things when there always seems to be fortunate events around or unfortunate events around? What name should I use? Okay, boy, you're asking a lot of questions, and so you know the way you ask a question matters greatly. So I'm seeing a lot of I'm seeing some confusion here with you. So just in the way you phrased this, and I did look at your numbers. I don't see a 50 anywhere. I see that Ann Bolt adds up to 14, and I see that Marion Ann Bolt adds up to 16, and then I see that Marion Bolt adds up to 36.9. So you have two choices, Marion Bolt or Ann Bolt, that add up to fortunate numbers for you. So that's number one. Number two is, Marion, I don't know how far into Numerology Academy you have delved, but I did check your birth chart, and I'm checking it, you know, at this point, because I want to see what's going on with you in relation to the Cardinal Grand Cross here. And it is literally sitting on your ascendant. Your ascendant is at 16 degrees in Cancer, and that happens to be 3 degrees from where the planet Jupiter is, and Jupiter is, part, you know, right now part of the Cardinal Grand Cross. So, you know, this is a major, major moment for you. And as Jupiter crosses your ascendant, you're going to feel a rapid change in your life. That will happen shortly. But Jupiter has been in your 12th house, so, you know, it's ending its cycle right now. And for you, it's just a moment to really understand that things are absolutely hugely intense. You know, there's just so much going on for you. And when you have a Cardinal Grand Cross, not only on your ascendant, but also on your Mercury, your Mercury's at 12 degrees Libra. I mean, that is literally, that's huge, because you're born in Virgo. You are a Virgo, right? So your sun is ruled by Mercury. And so the ruler of your sun sign is part of this Cardinal Grand Cross. So you just have to understand that, you know, this whole Pluto-Uranus square has affected you. This Cardinal Grand Cross is totally shifting you from the inside out, and you're just going through a time of transformation. And sometimes when we go through transformation, yes, of course, it's going to be challenging, but the point is to figure out how to turn the lemons and make lemonade out of them. So there's something you're not seeing or not yet seeing, and that you may see when Jupiter comes through to your first house, needs to be made visible to you so that you know how to move forward. You have a fabulous chart for making money, by the way, my dear. You have Venus in the second house. You have Uranus in the second house. This is beautiful. Even though they're opposite moon, and you've got to look at that, because that's very important. There's a opposition to moon in your seventh house. I'm not going to give you a reading now, but I want you to know there's a lot of potential here for you, but there's major stuff that you need to make sure is cleared out. This clearing energy in right now is very, very big. It's very important that you understand that and just be really honest about what needs to be released, what needs to be changed. So spend some time with your chart. If you need a reading from me, then I would suggest you book an astronumerology consultation, and I can really take you deeply into what's going on with you. But I've given you some sort of the main insights for you to look at, and you can spend some time with that, okay? Because, you know, you are, again, you're a Virgo, you think a lot. You may be not feeling as much as is necessary right now. right? Getting in touch truly with not emotional backlash and reaction, but your true feelings, right? And so that's something to really pay attention to, since your Mercury is hugely activated and so is your Ascendant. And by the way, your Ascendant is Cancer, right? So that is about the Moon. That is about your feelings. And your Moon is in the seventh house. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here with your partner, any intimate relationships you have that really needs to be addressed, your home, you. It's sort of the big stuff, right? So that's what I will tell you. Now, in terms of the name, I gave you the two choices. Please choose one and use it. I would suggest Marion Bolt for you, and I would just go with it everywhere. That's what you must do. You don't want more than one name. It will dissipate the energy and cause confusion. So make that choice and use it across the board. And you know, otherwise you're again living in an indecisive way, an unfulfilled way. Okay. All right. So that's Marion. And then let's see. We have, so press star 6 if you have a question. Let me go to area code 682. Hello. Are
you
there?
Did you say 682?
Yes, 682. Hi.
Okay. Hi, this is Angelica Underwood. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you, Angelica?
Doing great. I was going to ask you, I'm having a birthday next month, and so I'm moving from 15 personal year to the 16th, to the number 16. And I don't know why the number 7 always concerns me. I know. Since this whole year has been a huge transformation from being ill, my husband leaving, and me going from a full-time job to building my business, I'm just curious what you see in that number. What is
okay.
It, 16, 7?
Well, I'm so super happy you're getting your manifestation numbers in gear this year. You are a manifester, right?
It's falling into place, but I'm still like, I don't think I can take more. I took a lot.
Well, the universe does not give you more than you can handle. So, you know, just remember, be careful what you ask for. No, I'm joking. It's really fabulous to have all of that going for you, and I'm super happy for you. So, okay, let me answer your question. I totally understand, you know, there's certain numbers out there that elicit, like the number 13 and 16, elicit these sort of fears in us as numerologists once we find out about them. It's funny, though, with the number 7, it's considered a lucky number in all cultures. So, you know, yeah. So, and I just had a 7 year recently, and it was for me one of the highest earning years I ever had. And you know, that goes against what you would think, you know, numerologically. But if you really, really understand what the 7 is saying to you, you'll know why that happened. Well, you don't know why it happened. I can tell you why it happened. It's because 7 asks you to literally make every decision intuitively. And if you go by outside people, like if your partner, your husband, was interfering with your decisions, a 7 year would be hard. Or if you have, you know, a friend or family who are whispering in your ear and saying things that are against what you're intuitively sensing, then 7 years can be very difficult because you'll be, you know, can't figure out which direction to go. And so the whole point is, I'm glad you're alone, by the way. I don't know if you're in a partnership again or not, but I recommend you, if you're not, that you really relish in this 7 energy by yourself, because it's going to be really an amazing breakthrough year, because that is what the 7 represents when you listen on that level, right?
Okay.
So it's not to be feared. And, you know, 7 and 4 are happy together. So I don't think you should be, you know, they're not like fighting each other as numbers, right? So So I wouldn't be concerned about that part of it. So, yeah, it's really, in the end, what it comes down to is understanding what the role of the number will play in your life. See, so the role for you as a manifester is to pay attention to your intuitive insights And also, I have to say, because all of your numbers are in one category, for you, what will be important is to analyze, to pay attention to maybe taking a course, learning something, using your mind in a way that's stimulating to you, right? Because that really helps for you to work through whatever decisions you're making, to be able to use the intelligence of the heart, the intelligence of, you know, analyzation, where you write things out or just use the mind in a way that is very enlightened. So, for example, if you don't meditate, or if you, I don't know if you read a lot, do you do a lot of reading? Or
yeah, I can't stop studying. I mean, I got my doctorates, and now it's like, okay, what do I do next? But I want it to kind of relax and maybe go deeper into, like, the astrology. I'm doing a lot of the feng shui studying. I'm studying feng shui and putting everything together because that's really what I like. But I read a lot.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
I do read a lot.
Okay, good. Well, here's the thing. You mentioned to take time out to relax. Very important. You must do that. Get in touch with nature wherever you are. And you also mentioned learning and taking courses. Those are all part of seven. So, you know, that's the seven energy. So delving more deeply into an area of study that interests you, and especially that ignites you intuitively and brings you in touch with who you are on a very deeply divine level, right? Those are the kinds of studies you want to pursue.
Mm.
So something that you really feel blesses you is what you want to look at. So, and of course, you'll be in a 16 year, is that correct?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that is always going to be exciting and life-changing. I know you've already had this incredible 15 year, which is a magical number, obviously, when you can.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, it's a total about alchemy and uplifting others, and it's beautiful, beautiful when you know what you want, right, and when you go after it and all of that. So for you, that absolutely happened. The 16 is going to be different. You will experience at times these unforeseen experiences, right, where it comes out of the blue. And so anytime that happens, what you just need to be aware of is that you're overthrowing old habits of yours. Habits that may get in the way of you really taking advantage of that coming 8 year as well, which is a huge year for you, obviously, since you're all in manifestation, and that'll be your 17-8 year coming up. So the 7 years preparing you for that, and it's literally, you could call it a year of awakening. You happen to be entering it in a seven universal year for all of us, so that really heightens the energy because it'll be a double seven for you, right?
Uh-huh.
So one thing I want to mention is be careful not to overwork. You may tend to do that anyway because of your four energy. And the reason I say that is your health will be affected if you do that in a 7 year, because seven is about taking a sabbatical as well. So you don't want to overwork. So, and that sometimes can be hard for fours because 7 years are very intense. They really put you in touch with your intuition. So you may want to actually translate that into your business, but you also need to translate that into taking care of your own spiritual needs. So bringing that balance is important.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So sudden opportunities, keep a lookout for them. 16, you know, that tower that the tarot talks about with the 16, it's not a tower that has to be a toppling kind of tower. It literally can represent that you go to the top, okay? So, but it only happens when you are really in integrity with everything. So, meaning your inner life is totally congruent with your outer life, so, which is hard nowadays, right? But it really is what that means. So listen to your inner voice. That's imperative, and the success will come. Prosperity, success will be there for you, so. And you're on your way anyway. You've experienced it now. The great thing is about once you're on that path, you understand the energy. You recognize it, right? So, and that recognition prepares you for the next steps in your life, right? So that's wonderful. because you've had now a great experience of it, and that experience will carry you forward, and you'll know much more clearly what it is. You can make those decisions much more from an empowered position right now. So,
okay. Well, that's wonderful to hear. Okay.
Yeah.
I was very concerned. I was like, oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I really
appreciate your work. You're welcome.
Really,
and happy birthday for next month.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. All righty. Yeah. You're welcome. Great. So let's go to the next caller. Let's see. This is error code 650. Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hi. This must be Jen.
Yes.
I recognize your South African accent. So how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good. I'm feeling it, you know. It's intense, but it's good.
So. Yeah. It's exciting. I think it's very exciting.
Yes. I know. There's so much doom and gloom about this Cardinal Grand Cross, and I just like, ugh, don't even take me there. You know, it doesn't have to be that at all. So,
totally. Yeah. I don't feel any doom and gloom myself. I feel very energized.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your question?
Well, my question is, I want to know about what's happening with me. Is there anything particular about my sign that I should know, my time, my numbers? Because, you know, I'm going into 1 year right now in May. And
okay, I'm just pulling up the reason I'm not saying anything. I'm pulling up your chart. I need to just check. I do not remember people's birthdays.
Yeah, well, why would you? That would be crazy, right?
I know, wouldn't it? I mean, the only thing I can tell you is the U.S. is really affected by this Cardinal Grand Cross. But that's because I knew when the U.S. birthday is, July 4th, and the sun is at 13 degrees. So I'm like, great.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to watch. Anyway, that's the only chart I sort of have on my...
It's
right
interesting
now,
to see how many 13s are showing up. And I did read somewhere that they said that the energy of this Cardinal Grand Cross is like the same energy that the at the revolution, the American Revolution.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
Yeah.
Now, that is very interesting because Saturn for the U.S. chart is at 14 degrees Libra, so it's Saturn is also part of this Grand Cross for the U.S., right? So, and then so this is the U.S. chart for the independence. But I need to look at that revolution. I wonder what chart to look at. Gosh, because it lasted a few years. I'd have to look at the onset during Lincoln's presidency. I thought that's very interesting.
I thought that was really interesting. What compelled it?
It makes sense to me because of Pluto and Uranus and Mars being involved and then Jupiter expanding everything. When Jupiter expands Mars, it can affect stuff like revolution. You know, it's that male energy gets fired up in a big way, basically.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Definitely revolutionary energy, right? Or Renaissance, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, and at 13, the divine feminine actually enhances the male. So it's like the Venus energy comes into play. So you have the male-female enhanced, and it's you know, 13, that's why 13 is the number of power. You know, it really is, because it reduces to 4, it's about manifesting that power into our 3D reality here on Earth, right? So it's just so big. It's just a huge transformative energy that is felt, definitely felt, you know.
Oh, totally. So. I mean, I think on so many levels, as well as for me, I think it's like the Christ energy, and I've heard other people talk about it, you know, how appropriate that it falls on, you know, Easter.
Yes.
It's a cross.
Right.
You know, it's the cardinal signs, which are really like foundational signs, right? So it's like rebirth. The whole thing is like a rebirth. So,
yeah, that's true. That's what you're celebrating is the resurrection, really, of, you know, very interesting, which is also part of 13 and Pluto. So, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Right. And so you want me to look at your chart. Okay. So let's see here. You're born May 7th, and so you are now going into, brand new 9-year cycle. That's right. We have looked at this before. I remember now. So brand new 9-year cycle. So you're ending, and you're in your last 6 weeks period, right? The 6 weeks before your birthday, the most intense time, which is right during this time in April. It's like a double whammy for you, or I should say quadruple whammy with the eclipses and everything. So just to explain, 6 weeks before anybody's birthday is very intense. So that's when the sun is going through your natal 12th house, right around that time. So you're culminating and ending the year. So anything you haven't completed, resolved, is going to come to the fore. So Jen is now in that cycle, having a birthday on May 7th. At the same time, we have the shit hitting the fan. So it's like, which is good. When the shit hits the fan, you got to step up. So,
that's right. You don't have a choice, right?
You really don't. That's right. So, and it's amazing to see. Okay. 1 year, you are a 7. Big deal for you. We're in a 7-year. You're in a 1, brand new cycle. Let me look at your, did you look at your astrology chart to see what's happening there?
No, I didn't.
Oh, geez, that eclipse coming up on the 29th is literally on your ascendant. You're 8 degree Taurus on your ascendant. That's when I just spoke about that a few minutes ago, that should have triggered your, you need to get to know your astrology chart. Because your ascendant is 8 degrees Taurus.
Oh, you were talking, that's right, you were talking about it.
Yeah, so, yeah, your ascendant is that. So that eclipse, literally, what is it, a week before your birthday, when you go into a brand new 9-year cycle, that new moon eclipse, which is all about new beginnings, is on your ascendant.
Wow.
That's major, major, major. That's really good. That's going to affect your whole 9-year cycle right there. So now, number 8. Very important, Taurus, you know, this is about looking at your money issues and focusing on creating some wealth here. That's what these next 9 years are for you. I mean, right there, that encapsulates it. So,
good.
And you are a Taurus, so comfort is important to you, beauty, right, value. So, you know, you value money in a way it's meant to be valued, you know. It's there to uplift and inspire. And you are going to come into that power now. It's really gonna push you to do it, to really go and, you know, this is the business energy. So,
wonderful.
Yeah. So that's huge.
Exciting. Yeah, exciting. I'm excited. Yay! Whatever it means, I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you go and get it done. Now let me see. I'm looking at your. Let me go to your birth chart because I was looking at another chart here. Okay, so your moon, your natal moon is at 3 degrees Aries in the 11th house. So you are affected by this. Having any planet in any of the four cardinal signs, so if all of you pull up your birth chart, if you have any planet in Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, you are affected by this Grand Cross. Right, and so most of us, I mean, it pretty much takes care of all of us. We're all affected some way or another, you know. And so the degree to which we're affected is also what numbers are your planets, where are they in the chart, do they rule anything in particular, et cetera, et cetera. So for you, 3 degrees moon in the 11th house, with this event, that's the 11 again, we're in an 11 month, double new beginnings, 3 is about your creativity, your feelings, 11th house is about the future and joining other groups, right? So being part of a group. And let's see here, let's see what else is triggered for you. You do have Uranus and Neptune in those signs. So for you, it's really the 11th, 3rd, and 6th houses. So communication, your environment, and how you are planning your future, the connections you're making with others. I would say the main planet is the moon because the other two are pretty high up in degrees there. They're 28 degrees. So they're really not considered conjunct, this cardinal grand cross, but they are triggered because they're in those signs. But your moon is 3 degrees. That's 10 degrees from the cardinal ground cross, and that's close enough, especially since it is your moon. That's a personal planet, very important planet.
Yeah.
So that is how you'll be feeling now. You know, you'll have an urge to pay attention to those issues I just talked about, especially how you feel in a group and expressing yourself on that level. And then the eclipse following, that's really the big one for you. That's a huge, huge event being on your ascendant. And this is your redrawn chart, right? The one that,
that's five,
different.
Yeah. The 503.
I notice your sun's at 16 degrees, and we're in a 7 year, all of us. So that's also something for you to look at, just to really be in touch with what your intuition is saying, which I know you are. So whenever you have a decision to make, you know, just feel it out. Breathe, meditate, whatever it is you do, to take a walk. You know, we all have different ways, but it's just to, I mean, I find deep breathing is instant, and it helps so much, you know.
Oh, yeah, the breathing. And I also do Qigong, which is very helpful.
Yes, which is, again, like a deeper kind of breathing. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's physical.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's fabulous. Thank you. I have a question. When I'm putting, now this is what I don't know, and it's probably somewhere in the thing that I don't know. You know, I have that program like you have, whatever it's called, on Mac.
EO Edition?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to go and look at, like, the chart now. How do I go in? Because it's got the date, and I don't know if you go now. How does it, what am I supposed to do?
Okay. Well, what you do is you just open your file.
Yeah.
And then you just go up to Designs.
Okay.
And you go where it says A4 Designs, like the first one in the drop-down window. And you scroll over and you find the one that says Bi Wheel Synastry Traditional. That's the one I use. And you just release while you have, you know, that window open of your chart, and it'll automatically show today's, you know, what's happening, like, literally right now, the transit. So that'll be the Bi Wheel, where the transits will be on the outside and your birth chart will be in the inner wheel.
Awesome. That's great. I didn't even know such a simple thing. It's like, oh, my God, how do I do this? So when you're doing the current day or whatever, like the moon or whatever happening, how do you do that then?
You actually literally have to create a file and, you know, figure out, like, what time that, you know, eclipse or new moon or full moon is happening and create a file for it. So it's like you're created a chart for the eclipse on the 29th of April. And it's like a chart for your birth. And then you open both of those files and then, again, do the same thing I just said. Go to Designs, you know, A4 Designs, and scroll down and release on Bi Wheel Synastry Traditional. You can choose whatever Bi Wheel you want. That's the one I use. So that's, you know, that's the one you see in all my webinars and videos.
Okay, well, that's great to know, because I've tried out so many different things, and it's like, oh, how do I do this? So I was thinking that you don't need to, but every time, I was right, so every time you do need to go and create a chart for the actual moon or whatever it is that you look
at.
Yeah,
that's how I do it. It's just, I like having the chart available, too.
Mm.
I like looking at the chart. I actually print out the actual chart, you know.
Oh, yeah, so. That's what I do. I mean, I do it, you know, like, you know, I do that for, not so much for myself, but I certainly do it for my clients, so it's like something I should do.
And I, every eclipse, I mean, every new moon, full moon, any lunation, I print out and have it in front of me. So when I'm giving those readings or I'm creating a forecast video, I'm actually looking at the chart. I'm getting inspired by it, getting ideas. So even as I talked on the phone today earlier, what I did was I didn't really have a lot of notes in front of me. I just had the chart in front of me. And so I'm sort of reading the chart right now. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so, I color it up and I use my highlighter pens.
That's clever. Yeah, you color it up. That's good.
Yeah.
It gives you insight about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you need to do to stimulate your right brain, you know, so you can get get the intuitive inspiration going, because it's all there for you. This is just a gateway into the universal language, the energy that's happening. You know, it's just a translation of it for us here on Earth. I don't know what they do on other planets. That's what we do here. Mm. So.
Yeah, they have other tools.
They have other tools.
They don't need a chart. But okay, so let me ask you one more question, and that's about, like, when you, like you were talking about, for instance, with the money, for instance, like 8, that's the money number triggers. So how do you do that in terms of, is there any particular planets or anything besides the number 8 that would trigger, or you were saying, oh, I think you said it was Venus, right? Venus in the second house. Like, say, Venus in the second house, if that was at 8 degrees, that means you're good at manifesting money? And is there anything
else? Venus in the second house is very fortunate placement, because the second house is ruled by Venus. It's naturally ruled by Taurus. It's the house of money, right, and values. So when you have Venus in its own house, its natural house, you know, this is not about somebody's birth chart. This is just a natural universal chart, you know, so Venus naturally rules that house. So when it's in that house, it's a, you know, it's a good sign that you have the gift to make money. Now, of course, you got to look at the aspects to Venus. In this case, I remember there was an opposition from the moon in the seventh house, just the way it was placed. So it was a very wide opposition. I believe it was 9 degrees, but it still was there. So then the money-making will be challenged, in this case, by the opposition, moon being in the partnership house, if partnership issues are not clear. You know, so then you have to look at that. Like, why am I not making money? I've got Venus in the second house. Well, what's happening with Venus? Also, what degree number is it? You know, and what current... how is it being affected right now by transits as well? But the most important thing is the promise of the birth chart. So the promise of the birth chart in this case was the moon was opposing Venus. And the moon was in the partnership house. So her feelings in general and her feelings, especially about partnership, if those aren't clear, would have affected the ability to attract wealth. So...
Okay, yeah, so that's interesting. And then when the houses, like for instance, when I'm assuming the houses have nothing in them, then they're not.
Well,
that
then you look at where the rulers are.
Yeah,
so let's say you have the seventh house and Pisces rules the seventh, and there's nothing in that house. Well, you see, well, where's my Neptune? And how's my Neptune being aspected? And what number is it? And how are the transits affecting it? Because that will affect your seventh house. Right? So you don't have to have a planet in the house for the house to be of major importance.
Okay.
You don't.
All right. Well, that's good to know, because so many layers that...
Exactly, which is what makes it eternally exciting.
Yeah, no, totally. There's so many places you can go with what things are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
right.
Exciting.
Good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was very helpful.
You're welcome, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, I know you have a birthday sometime in April.
I have a birthday very close to yours, the day before. So.
Oh, really?
I'm experiencing what you are right now, yes.
Well, happy birthday to you, too.
Thank you. All right, good.
All right, bye.
Wonderful. Okay, bye-bye, Jen.
Bye.
Okay, we have now, I don't have an area code for you, but your name says anonymous, so.
I'm on Skype. This is Linda.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, I have a couple of questions if you have time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you don't know the exact birth time, what exactly will be affected if we use the 12 o'clock time frame, the ascendant, but is it going to be all of the personal planets that will be affected as well?
If you don't have a birth time, you can't do the houses. So, yes, the ascendant, and you can't do the actual numerology either, except for, you know, gosh, it depends, because there's 24 hours in a day, so even the sun can change numbers within that period, right? So if the person says, well, I think I was born between 5 and 8 a.m., you can get most of the numbers, number degrees for the planets, except the moon. You can't get the moon. You know,
so the moon will be very affected too. So
the moon is extremely, yeah.
And the sun may or may not be affected depending on where it is in the month, right?
Exactly. Well, it depends on how wide the window is that the person's given you. And so if, like I said, if it's a 3-4, even sometimes a 6-7 hour window, it can still be like 1 degrees. You just have to check it in your astrology software. Like, let's say the person says, I'm born between 7 a.m. and 12 p.m., not sure which. Well, check 7 a.m. and check 12 p.m., see if the sun is at that 1 degrees or if it switches in between, you know, 7 and 12. But then all the other planets are pretty much there, you know, in one day. They don't tend to change. I mean, it's rare that they do. So if somebody says, I was born on this day, but I have no idea when, you're dealing with 24 hours. So all the houses are out. The moon is out.
All of the houses are out?
Yeah, because you have to do a sunrise chart at this point, and that's not based on a time that's specific to that person. It's just based on the time the sun rose on that day in the city they were born. So you're reading it differently. And so then what happens is, yes, you have a sunrise chart, and you can do transits and progressions, But you can't. You have to estimate for the moon, because the moon has, you know, but in a 24-hour period, the moon moves many degrees. In a 3-hour period, it just moves about 1 degree or so.
Okay.
Right. So it's just, you have to then gauge how you're going to interpret. You can interpret a lot in terms of the aspects, but not the houses. The houses are not set. Right, so you can't say, well, your 10th house is really affected or anything like that.
I see.
Don't have a time.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I was wondering about that. And then also, this came up as one of the questions on the group the other day. Somebody had a 15, I think it was a 15 day of birth, but this is, you know, for anybody who has a 15, 8, or 4 in their day of birth or life purpose. How concerned do you need to be about dates, like any date that has a 4 or 8 or a 15? Would it really be just an intensification, or if they, like, were planning something special, they would need to steer clear of those dates?
Very good question. Yeah. Okay, so it is an intensification for sure, just like for any number, if it's, you know, if it's triggered. For 4s and 8s, it is a special intensification because of the nature of that relationship. It's not necessarily good or bad, though. But here's what I always advise my clients. If you're planning a wedding or something like that, something important, like you said, I personally would steer away. Because you don't, and the reason I say that is because you don't know the nature of their perspective. So, you see, because, you know, the numbers work the way we also handle them. So you don't want to be recommending a date that possibly could bring up some, you know, some triggers for the person that the person cannot handle. Some people could, some couldn't. See what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I say that. But in terms of just in general, they're just days of intensification, so that where a lot can be accomplished, really. But for some people, it might be like challenging stuff, you know. So, you know, I mean, challenges to me, I use that word in a way that I've learned to use it, which is a disguised opportunity. You know, but, you know, to be honest, most people don't like challenges, so they don't see it that way.
So that's only if they have a 4 or 8 in their life purpose and day of birth. You really don't need to be so concerned if it's the 15?
No, I would say that's more the case with names,
the current
names.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, if it's a wedding, I wouldn't recommend it because, again, it's too important a day for them.
Uh-huh.
right? And I don't want that interaction on a day like that, right? But now let's say they have no choice. Let's say their child is graduating on this day or something like that, where it's set in stone and nothing can be changed. Then you just let them know, well, just let the child be aware, you know, if anything comes up that they feel is a kind of interfering energy, that they have the power to totally augment that. And, you know, it's just it's what the numbers are could activate, but totally doesn't mean it's going to happen. I mean, I never want to instill fear on that level, but if it's a direct question about a specific day and you know the numbers 15 and 4 or 8 are interacting with each other, you just want to just let them know there's a possibility of some kind of, you know, interference. So, and just to be aware of it. And that awareness itself is enough for most people to understand. If they remember it on the day, you know, to just move through it and just pay extra attention, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then this also came up on the group page a while ago. I think you mentioned it, but I didn't understand. So when you're trying to figure out a chart for the whole world, you would use Greenwich, England as the place. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, the solar eclipse on April 29th, I put 7 a.m. GMD Greenwich, England, and then it puts in 6 a.m. Universal on the chart for IO edition. Is that?
Oh, well, here's what you need to do then. So sometimes we're an hour off for whatever reason, and I found that with IO edition. So if it says, because I think the eclipse is around 7:15 a.m. or 6:15 a.m., depending on what you're looking at. So all you have to do is, are the numbers congruent with each other? Are they exactly the same? So does it say 8 degrees 52 seconds for both sun and moon? And if it doesn't, you're an hour off. And then you just have to go up an hour or down an hour to figure out the exact time.
So I made it, it was at 7, I put 7 a.m. and the minutes or the degrees were not the same. It was 8 degrees and something for the different ones. But now that I changed it to 7:15 a.m. GMT, it says 8 degrees Taurus 52.
Exactly. So that's what I do. I just play with it, and that's how I get the exact number.
So I put in 7:15 for the time, but in the block next to it, it says 6:15 Universal.
Yeah, and again, that's all you need to know is, you know, to me, if it's Greenwich, England, it's GMT time, and that's what I put down. That's why it says GMD, Greenwich Mean, right? So I just say 7:15 a.m. GMT, and, you know, I don't know why sometimes it's an hour off with Universal, but as long as
it's daylight savings time.
Exactly. So sometimes those things are a little confusing. But as
so
long
after
as
we change, both of them will say 7:15 if you put in 7:15, but right now it says 7:15 and 6:15 because it's daylight savings?
I cannot answer that question. That's something that I'd have to do research on. I just know
that
I
could check that out.
Yeah.
When do we fall back? We'll have to go look at that.
Well, I would think they've done their daylight saving time. So again, it's something that I've noticed. There's sometimes an hour discrepancy with GMT and Universal, and don't ask me why. But all I do then is I just go into my astrology software and make sure the seconds and minutes are totally lined up. You know what I mean? So we've got the actual time of the full moon or the new moon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I think I did the chart right. I have the Cardinal Grand Cross. My birthday is July 6th, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have Mars at 13 degrees Libra in my 12th house, right? And I have a Libra ascendant. So
okay, that's huge.
Any words of advice? Although I just don't really feel that, like, antsy or anything like that. I just actually feel pretty calm.
Yeah, that's what I've been feeling, too, and I'm directly affected.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had the first eclipse this month directly on one of my planets, and it was so funny because I had dinner with a very close friend of mine. She came over to our home. And I was like, you know, I'm standing here in front of you, and it literally is hours before this blood moon. And I'm fine. So there you go. It's okay. And it really was a prominent planet in a prominent house. Believe me, it was huge. And so, it really depends on the person, too. How are you translating the energy? I certainly had to get some inner work done, for sure, you know. But, again, and sometimes you avoid it, sometimes you don't. So depending on how you respond to these big events really shows how aware you are to what you're supposed to be doing, you know. So the greater the awareness, the less, the more balance you're going to feel and the more strength you're going to feel with these big events. So for you, you were saying, let me see, here's your natal chart. Yeah, you have Mars at 13 degrees in Gemini. That's already a big deal, having that on that number. Then you have your Sun, as you said, 14 degrees Cancer. So, yeah, which makes sense because the U.S. was born July 4th. It's at 13 degrees. So, yeah, you're definitely, I mean, there's a lot. And for you, because it's ninth house, this is the ninth house for you, so you want to look at that too, higher education, going more deeply, expanding your vision on that level, you know, travel. That will all be stimulated for you in the next period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. What were you going to say?
I just checked the chart for the solar eclipse. The Jupiter is going to be at 14 degrees right on my Sun.
Wow. See, that's very powerful. Yeah, so that's, again, you are the one who's going to figure all this stuff out. 14 degrees right on your Sun. Wow. Yeah, a lot of expansion and joy for you.
Okay.
Really, really nice. So, and that's what's also, just so you know, by the way, the fact that Jupiter is the planet that is affecting you most, meaning your Sun and Jupiter are conjunct with each other, which is, by the way, what's happening to the U.S., is helping you because it's you know, Jupiter is very, very benefic. Now, it does, yes, it's a very positive, optimistic planet. The thing is, it is also expanding anything we're not looking at, especially with Pluto being opposite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just be aware of that. But I think the fact that Jupiter's sitting on your Sun is actually also helping you at the same time, you know?
Okay. Hidden secrets might come up, too.
Okay. Yeah, of course, with Pluto there. Yep. I mean, Pluto is all about that hidden stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I just find it, I'm just following some of these storylines right now in the news. The ones that maybe aren't as, you know, the ones that are just popping up for me that I'm just noticing that may not receive that much coverage but are being covered.
Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of stories are showing more the underlying psyche of what's shifting. There's some kind of revolutionary feeling, some kind of, you could almost say for some people it would be a recalibrating of how they felt about certain issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and yeah. That actually led me to my last question was, did you look up anything about the South Korean ferry sinking that happened on April 16? It was a 16-7 day and an 18-9 universal date.
I did notice that. You know, I didn't even know it happened because I have some days in a month I just turn off everything and I go, and I didn't know until the next day. But then as soon as I heard about it, I noticed those two numbers and I thought, wow. There is obviously weird stuff. I mean, just yesterday I heard about all these incredible tweets that went out that were fake about people, you know, who supposedly were still on the ferry. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I did. Oh, all of those tweets, those were fake. Oh my God.
Yeah, they were just fabricated tweets. Yeah.
Yeah. Deception.
So all these family members were like, you know, hopeful, and it was all false. It never happened. So that's the 18. That's like the deception.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I also noticed that there was 459 passengers, which equals 18, too. And
yeah, there's a lot of 18 energy in this, and it's definitely, yeah, there's some weird stuff going on, for sure.
And the name of the ferry was the 34-7.
Was it? Well, there you go. You're ahead of me here. So
I was like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on with all the teens? Because there's been a lot of teen suicides, too, across the U.S. around the there was just four in Fairfax, Virginia, which I know you at
really?
One of the high school. Yeah, one of the high schools.
Where? That's
earlier.
Where I'm from.
I know.
I'm from Fairfax County.
I can't remember which high school. Woodson. It was a Fairfax County high school. I can't remember. Woodson, maybe. So I have to look it up again.
Oh,
but
my God.
I was like,
that's
oh, my
really
goodness.
Scary.
Yeah, so I was like, what's going on with teens?
Yeah, well, the millennials, you know, it's intense. You got it. Here's the thing, too. It ties in with what Arianna Huffington and that actress, which, whose name escapes me. What is her name? Wonderful actress, blonde American, really good. Kirsten Dunst. That's who it was. Kirsten Dunst made that comment. Anyway, they were both saying about, you know, parents not being, you know, at home, right? Especially
mm-hmm.
mom. Now, with teens, you know, if you have working parents and the teens aren't being raised in a certain way to, you know, talk and have a relationship. Now, I know teen is especially difficult, but this intense energy can really overwhelm. So you need, you know, and parents obviously are integral to allowing a growing child to express herself or himself appropriately. And with absent parents, there are a lot of issues, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Now I'm not blaming it on that. I'm not saying that, but it's just interesting to me how our priorities may be, you know, when Arianna Huffington, one of the most powerful people in the world who runs Huffington News, you know, makes comments like she did on CNN, and you can look them up like this, it's a pretty big deal because she represents a lot to people, especially women. And so she's basically saying some pretty negative things about how she ran her life.
Right.
You know, and so, and it's all about, you know, taking care of stuff that's home, that's at home, right? My health, my family, you know, all of that.
Right.
So, and, you know, as we know, cancer is involved in this cardinal ground crossing. Cancer is about the home.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Jupiter in Cancer. So what does that mean? The expansion, the idea of how do we feel about our family, you know,
mm-hmm.
those emotional issues and our partner. And so anyway, for a lot of people, not necessarily you, Linda, but for a lot of people, this is huge. It's a major topic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But you are Cancer, and you're affected in that way. So.
Yeah. Ever the homebody, I think.
Yes, that's right. You like those remodels.
I like remodels.
And you like cooking, and you, yeah. You know, my really close friend, she has Cancer rising, and she's a Taurus. And believe me, she's, like, all about the home and cooking and everything, you know, furnishing. And, oh, my gosh, it's so funny. So
cool. Well, that was all of my questions.
Okay, good. Well, that was good. That was great.
Thank you
good.
Very much.
You're welcome. We'll probably see each other
tomorrow.
Next month again.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have
all
questions
right.
tomorrow, too, though.
Pardon me?
I have questions for tomorrow, too, though, but I'll
ask. Oh, perfect. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Look forward to that. Okay, see you then.
Cool. Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Sure. Okay, then we have 208 area code. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hi, Rayora.
Hi. I didn't think I had a question, and then I got one.
Oh, fancy that.
In the
that.
Course of conversation.
Yeah.
When we're looking at the upcoming solar eclipse at 8 degrees Taurus,
mm-hmm.
does that need to be exact with one of our numbers in order to really impact us strongly or just be in the sign?
Good question. Now, when you say numbers, do you mean the numerology birth profile or do you mean astrology?
I'm
numbers?
Speaking of the astrology chart right now. For instance,
okay.
I mean, I think mine's close enough that I'm going to be impacted. I mean, I can't dodge these things now no matter what I was to do. But anyway, the solar eclipse at 8, Taurus,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. just almost matches my natal moon at 7, Taurus. So I would think that's a pretty tight conjunction, and therefore, even though it's not an actual planet transit, it's an eclipse. Wouldn't that be handled in the same way that a certain amount
oh, absolutely.
Of orb would be allowed?
Oh, eclipse has a wider window than just a regular old new moon.
Uh-huh.
You know, the solar eclipse, because it's an eclipse, it first of all, it lasts a year
mm-hmm.
pretty much as opposed to a month.
Right.
So in an astrology chart, it would cast a wider effect. So if you have, what planet did you say was close to it?
Moon,
right?
At 7 Taurus.
Oh, well, yeah, that's absolutely, I mean, that's pretty much, that's definitely conjunct. It's just within a degree,
uh-huh.
a degree and a half here. So, yep, that is a major, since it is your moon, too, and this is a lunation eclipse, it's you'll definitely have some kind of insights. You know, it's a release, really, is what it is. So for you, the moon is in the second house. There could be some major, you know, this is your values, money house. So I think your focus for the next year will be on that, because you are just like Jen was affected on her ascendant. This is of major importance to you, this eclipse.
Well, what I was kind of looking at when I was listening was so much of my chart, it points towards growth through relationship. I mean, I've just got everything packed into the seventh house almost.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Taurus shares rulership with Venus, which rules the seventh house and also my sun sign. So I see that this could either speak of money or speak of relationship issues, or maybe both tied together. I don't know. Am I right in kind of hooking that together?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep,
okay.
Because Venus rules Taurus. Your moon is in Taurus. So anything related to Taurus or Venus, which would be Libra, which is your sun, which
mm-hmm.
is also ruled by Venus, and is in the seventh house. So you've got like intensifications here, because Venus is in the second house. Your sun, which is in a sign ruled by Venus, not second, Venus is in the seventh house. The sun ruled by Libra is in the seventh house. And then, yeah, you've got Mercury conjunct your Venus, and that's important because your seventh house is ruled by Mercury, right, being a Virgo house.
Mm-hmm.
So... and they're conjunct each other. In fact, Venus is practically conjunct everything. it's like close to your Saturn. And
that's right.
You know.
Got everything packed in there tightly.
Yeah, yeah. I would say this, you know, truthfully for you, the eclipse coming up on the 29th is, I would say for you, as great or of greater importance than the Cardinal Brown Cross. I see you do have Neptune at 16 Libra, so, and you have your Sun in Libra, so you do have some important, very important planets. You also have Uranus at 9 degrees Cancer. So there are three planets right there that are directly affected in the 5th house and 7th house.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very important, because your seventh house is the house in your chart, as you said. But it's being affected from many different angles. And the moon event on the 29th, which, by the way, for you, I believe it is the 29th. It's probably 11-something p.m. No, 1-something a.m. Not exactly sure what time it'll be, but it'll be the 29th of April for you, because you're not West Coast time. So that 29th
I'm
is double new beginnings.
I'm West Coast.
Oh, you are West Coast?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
oh.
in Idaho. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know Idaho was Pacific time. Okay, sorry about
yeah,
that.
I'm
I thought you were Rocky
that's
Mountain.
West Coast time.
Okay, for some reason I thought you were Rocky Mountain time.
No. I'm in the northern part, and Idaho is split in two different time zones. So that's
oh,
confused.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember now. Okay. All right, so you're Pacific time. So you are the 28th. We are the few people in the world who are not on the 29th. So 28th is when it happens for us. And that is a one day, but also for you, that number is important, as I see here in your chart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for
it triggers
Jupiter
my birthday.
Especially. Yeah. Not only your birthday, you have Jupiter. I mean, this is a very important day. So look at that, too. Tie that all together.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely new beginnings energy in many ways for you. And I would spend time just looking at the chart. And
isn't the 29th a solar eclipse?
That's what
no,
I meant.
No, it's a lunar. That's right. No, I'm confused. Which is it?
It's a no, it's a solar, but it's a new moon.
It's a new moon. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe. Gosh, I get confused, too, with lunar and solar.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a
I
new
do.
Moon. it's okay. a new moon, and it falls right on your moon in Taurus. So seeing if there is anything else. You're a Libra. This is in Taurus. Venus, we looked at that. See, Libra rules your eighth house. So there's another connection that I just found. Okay, so Venus rules Libra. Libra rules your eighth house. The eighth house is money owed to you. So in terms of that money connection, the eighth house rules other things as well. But just to complete that, it is definitely activated for you. So in other words, if you've been wanting, and I presume you will feel the itch, to expand your finances, you will be doing that now. Through, I would say, partnering one-on-one readings, but it really could be just whatever you end up wanting to focus on. It's going to be very in-depth because of the Jupiter 28 connection. That's the day, you know, the 28 right there.
Mm-hmm.
Your day of birth. So, yeah, it's and then what year are you in right now?
I'm in a 7.
You're in a 7. You're going to be in an 8 year.
Mm-hmm.
Start in September. And like I said, this will last a year. So the 8 crops up even stronger once you are celebrating your birthday this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I would focus, you know, if you were my VIP client, I'd be saying focus on getting your website, you know, really exciting and palatable and so people really want to spend some money on your gifts, you know, feel supported by you. So that's what I would advise you focus on the next few months.
Yeah.
Then once your birthday comes around, it'll really feel exciting for you. So,
well, for me, I know that all this stuff stems from one-on-one relationships, and then they build from there. And so
mm-hmm.
I see that playing out as far as the career path as well.
Absolutely.
So anyway,
yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Tanya. That confirmed what I thought then about the
yeah.
tour.
Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating. Yeah. I love these connections and webs and storylines.
We're also unique, right?
Yes, exactly. Oh, my gosh. It's like we each have, feeling like we each have a Greek mythology story in our chart that we just have to unravel, you know. It's amazing, all the layers. Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Okay. So, boy, we had a very in-depth call. So you can see if you have a question and you ask me during the call or ask me in an email before the call, we can definitely look at whatever's happening to you because we learn the most from looking at ourselves, right? Looking at our own charts. And then, you know, really, I have found that my knowledge of astronumerology has expanded exponentially because of reading others and supporting others in their path. So these calls are really meant to help us all understand how these different energies work differently for each of us. And so that way you can support your clients even better by seeing that everybody has their own unique way of not only, you know, being affected, but how do they actually want to implement the energy in place? Are they going to be a couch potato and just let it all happen, or are they going to feel compelled to be the creator and take advantage of the incredible moment that's happening right now? One last thing, one of the cardinal crosses that I read up about online that happened, and this is cardinal, this is not mutable or fixed, right? This is the cardinal sign. So I looked up, when there were cardinal crosses, and the big one that everybody mentions is in the 1300s when there was a lot of change. You can look that up. But one more recent one was in 1934, I believe, and that was when we had a lot of changes. A lot of seeds were planted, not only in Europe, which would lead up to World War II, but also here we had the Dust Bowl. We had, you know, a lot of changes in the financial ways that we ran our finances. I'm talking about U.S. government stuff and the Great Deal. And so there was a lot of things that began that were activated as a result of that Cardinal Grand Cross back then. Again, it is about initiating action. So the reason I bring that up is you can see it both in world events, especially in hindsight, when you look back at 2014, you'll see what it was all about. But you also want to know that this grand square literally represents a battery. It's a life activation battery, and it is churning around, and so it's a source of life, a source of energy that you can dip into now, and actually literally you must dip into it and reach into it and find what it is that you really, that compels you to move forward now. What is it? What is it that really inspires you right now? What is it that you feel completely fulfilled by? You know, whatever that may be, and don't judge it, just acknowledge it, see it for what it is, and put your 100% activation energy into whatever that is. Because the cardinal signs are literally turning points. They represent the four seasons. They carry huge significance. They're very much about taking leadership and starting fresh. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, and you know, probably won't feel the results or experience the results of it for a while, but the excitement of it and the discoveries you'll make, whether they feel, you know, within or without, whatever it is that you're feeling, it's going to leave a huge effect on you. It is surrounded by two eclipses, which makes it even more rare. I don't know when this has ever happened, to tell you the honest truth. I really don't know. But the eclipses are cementing it in an even greater way. So be open to everything and try to look at things without, you know, making judgments of others. Just make sure you focus on you and what you need, and you'll be fine, right? So it's really that exciting a time. We can really progress. Talk about enlightenment. This is a moment for us to let go, to just let go and trust and trust and trust. You know, just stay with it. Be with that flow of life that comes when you're really in tune, when you're breathing, taking care of yourself physically, taking care of yourself emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and allowing that wonderful 11 energy through, stepping into that energy. So it's just an amazing time. So lots of love to all of you, and really enjoy counseling your clients, family members, friends during this time, just letting them know what's up when they need to hear it, of course. And I will see you next month. I believe we're meeting on the 19th, and we'll, I'm sure, have a lot more questions and insights at that point. So have a happy April and May, and we'll talk to you soon. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye-bye.